y'all. Welcome back to the show. Sweaty Witch Gang, here we are. I'm going to just jump right to it. We're going to make this hot, quick, and delicious. I have a strong, I don't want to say it's a truth. It's a truth according to me that I am discovering, but it's a bold proclamation that I want to make. And then I want to zoom out and tell you the dang story of what happened to me this morning that is revealing this lowercase t truth to me and to my body. Now, I am dialing in to you from a hotel room in Savannah, Georgia. And this morning, I'm here by myself for a work thing. And I got up this morning and went to the Bonaventure Cemetery. This very cool old spooky dookie, like just Spanish moss soaked, dripping glen of death. It is so beautiful. It's right on the river. And I was walking around and had this overwhelming sensation, this like clarity of the bold proclamation that is something that I have known before, but it just like felt a little bit more like a lightning bolt this morning, which is we, you and me, all of us little chicken heads out here acting like we are solo people running around trying to organize our lives by ourselves, we actually get to collaborate with the spirit of all things. Not just people, not just animals, not just things that are socially acceptable to have an inner spirit and an inner consciousness, but like the marrow juiciness of consciousness that flows through everything. And not even just like, oh yeah, plants have consciousness, trees have consciousness, like circumstances have a consciousness. Your ideas have a consciousness, your projects, your environments, like space, these different spaces that you move through, cities have a consciousness, this like this indwelling spirit that has its own texture and timbre and flavor. And it's like just hanging out, waiting for us to like get with the program and collaborate, if it is our wish, with these indwelling spirits of the world. So it feels like a very animist perspective on the world, that there is this like ribbon and wave of consciousness flowing through all of the unseen, the seen and unseen world. And y'all, I got kind of gobsmacked with this morning because I lead this workshop called Grief Threads. Some of you may be familiar with it. It is a beautiful, delicious beast of a workshop. I lead it usually once or twice a year. And it is a space in which we learn and explore quilting, textiles, sewing practices, all for the purpose of processing our grief experiences, right? It's magical. It's fucking magical. It's so unpredictable where we go, where the flow flows with a specific collage of people who show up, right? But it's intimate and it's over a, you know, 5 weeks. So it can be energetically costly for me if I don't facilitate it when I'm in like the right space for it. And it's been about a year since I facilitated this practice, this workshop. And the first thing that feels really important in terms of this, like talking to the consciousness of all things, is like, I recognize that Grief Threads came to me several years ago. It's like, it felt like a channeled offering. It's like, came from somewhere else and delivered to me in my little workspace of my inner self. And I really don't have the experience of like my workshop that I made up in my big, beautiful brain because I'm so freaking smart. And like, don't you want to come take my workshop that I made up? right? I feel like a groundskeeper, like a steward and doula for this experience that came into the world that wants to have other people go through the experience. And I'm like the guide in the front of the boat that's like taking people across the river where they need to go. And so that really feels like the first piece. And like, I just felt very aware from the beginning. That's like, oh, Grief Threads wants to come through me. It wants to have its way with me. It wants to show me who it is. And I very much have the experience that like every time I teach it, it's totally different. It's totally different. And it's like a fine wine that like the flavor changes as the air and the oxygen like do its little dance with the tannins and the stuff. Like it just keeps changing and showing more things to me slowly over time about who it is and who it wants to be and how it wants to engage with people. Okay, so there's all that. The other piece of it is that when it comes to being an artist who like has to market their stuff and things so that I can make thy living as an artist, you know, sometimes I can really be in the place of like, oh yeah, I can like just like flip the script on marketing and not have such a predictably adversarial relationship as a creative person and as an artist. But sometimes I can get in the flow and be like, marketing is kind of an art form too. This is fun. It's just storytelling. So that can be true. And what is also true alongside of that for me is that it's like, I get into this place of like, I'm a solo entrepreneur and I'm just doing this all by myself. And I've got to like come up with all the graphics. I've got to reach out to the people. I've got to like be posting for consistency. And, you know, just feeling like there's such an enormous weight and there's so much to do as a solo person. And you've got to be responsible for all of the stuff and things. And what if, dear God, nobody fucking signs up? Nobody wants to come to your cute, cool workshop, event, offering. Nobody wants to buy your pottery. Nobody cares about the little earrings that you made and you put on your Etsy shop. And it took you so long to like get the cojones to like load the pictures onto the Etsy shop. And then, oh my God, even worse, like, what if you are visible, like, with nobody signing up, right? So it's one thing to, like, internally on the back and be like, well, shit, nobody signed up for the thing. Nobody's buying the thing. But then it's, like, a whole other beast to, like, publicly be invisible. To like publicly receive crickets. Not to mention the fact that like you're not being poured into financially so that you can continue making your gorgeous bespoke earring collection out of melted Legos from your childhood collection. And it's your whole process of, you know, re-parenting yourself and working through your childhood trauma. And these earrings are really freaking special because of that. And so it just starts to feel like a lot. It starts to feel like a lot to carry by yourself. And that there's this like grabby desperation energy that can like creep in to be like, these earrings are super important. I've got to tell the people. Maybe I just need to climb up to a higher rooftop to shout it into the void. If nobody heard me the first time, I just need to keep climbing and scrabbling up to a taller parapet. And then maybe the people will hear me, right? These are some of the things that sort of like swirl in the background for me as a solo artist person who both like needs to butter my bread with the things that come into my consciousness, the offerings, the projects, the events, the workshops. And also as the like humble caretaker and like groundskeeper of these beings, like again, like these like workshop as being, workshop as having an inner life force that I feel like, oh my God, I can't let this thing down. I want to like really give it my all, right? And so what happened, dear listener? This morning at the cemetery in Savannah with the drippy Spanish moss is I had this feeling like I needed to, in my mind, it was called a commitment ceremony. Like I needed to recommit because it's been a year since I've led this workshop. And I was like, I feel like I want to make a, like I want to leave a little offering in this cemetery to Grief Threads, to the spirit of Grief Threads, to the spirits of the muses who help bring about this workshop from the beginning, middle, and end. And I want to like recommit to this practice and not like pussyfoot around, not half-ass it, just and not get bogged down. Because I think the potential of feeling like sad and alone creates this friction on the threshold to be like, God, maybe I'll do it next month. Maybe I'll do it next month. Maybe I'll do it next month. And yeah, so like energetically, there's like a holding of the thing at arm's distance because I don't want to get burned by the putting myself out there-ness of the efforting, right? So this is I was calling it like a commitment ceremony, right? And I had to, you know, just dig in. And this is the way, y'all, this is the way the spontaneous rituals and ceremony go down for me. I rummage around in my bag, see what I got. Usually it's some fun little trinky dinkies rattling around in there. And I did come a little prepared. I had, when I left town, I was like, I feel like I'm going to be up to some witch shit. And I need to just, I'm not quite sure what the shape of it is, but I'm going to need a couple of sparkly, robust trinkets from my house. And so I had like a couple of stones, some rocks. I had like an old pin, like brooch pin that came from my aunt. And I've had for a long time. I've never actually worn it, but it is just like really striking. It looks like this kind of like gold firework burst with these fun little lavendery beads on the end. I had a scrap of some fabric from a shirt of my dad's who has since passed. And I had a little scrap of fabric of, I taught Gavin how to applique two pieces of fabric together. And so I had his like little demo and some matches from a bar in Atlanta were in my purse. And anyways, I just had a couple of things with me and found this like weird crystal salt dish that was like in the back of my car. And walking around, I just found this really cool little corner of the cemetery and there was a bench near it and it wasn't like in any particular family's gravesite. And so I sat down at the bench and just started talking out loud to myself with the understanding that I'm conjuring and I'm inviting forward the guides who I know look after me, the angels, the entities, the unseen beloveds who are with me and conspiring with me constantly. I talk to them all of the time. All of the time. And I'm chatting them up. I'm being like, hey, yo, what's going on? Y'all want to pull up? I want to talk to the spirit of Grief Threads. And I don't think I thought this in the moment, but now it's kind of coming into focus as I'm talking to you now, which is like, it sort of feels like they're like, oh, okay, word. Yeah, let me patch them in. Let me put them on the line. Like you remember, not you remember, probably this is not an actual lived memory. You know, when you've seen on TV or in movies, I'm like thinking of, is it Mad Men or Mrs. Maisel? Like these big call centers where these huge wall of like wires that have to get patched into different holes to like direct your call. It's like these like 1950s like call centers, right? So I'm imagining that like my guides, my beings, my spirit homies are like, oh word, you want to talk to so-and-so, the spirit of this being, this entity? Cool. Let me patch you through. Beep, boop, 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 doop, 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 doop. And so I called forth for the spirit, the inner consciousness thread of Grief Threads. And I'm like, yo, okay, like, let's do this. I want you to know that I'm no longer participating in a half-hearted way. I'm no longer participating in a half-assed, pussyfooting around, like, one foot in, one foot on the sideline. Like, recently heard this interview with Richard Rudd, who channeled the Gene Keys, and he was on Rick Rubin's podcast. Wow, double R, triple quartet R. Rick Rubin, Richard Rudd, we're talking on a podcast. And he was talking about the 29th Gene Key, which is something that is strong in my chart, and it's about commitment. And that he had heard once this quote that's like, if you're 99% committed, you're really just 1% committed. Like, this is the thing about commitment, is you're either all in or you're not in at all. And so as I'm making my proclamation to the spirit of Grief Threads, and I can feel in my body like this sort of tentativeness of like, fuck, okay, like, I'm really laying my cards out, and I feel more visible to, like, I feel exposed. That was the feeling of, like, I feel like my heart, the center of my heart is exposed. And, like, with two hands parting the veil of this, like, coverage, this, like, curtainy veil that I've used to protect my heart from being, I don't know, more seen, more visible. Like, there's a part of me that's like, well, if I just stay, like, only halfway visible, then I can just do it the sort of easy way or the halfway, or then I won't run the risk of being seen with nobody signing up for the thing or something. I'm not even fully sure, but it's protective. It's fully a protective mechanism. And so I'm sitting in the cemetery, like talking out loud to myself like a total freak in the corner, I could feel my heart space just become very exposed and vulnerable. But I kept talking. And the thing that I heard back, like just sensed and felt back, was like, okay, thank God. Like, now you're asking for help. Now you're really ready to receive the support, the blessing, the resourcing of the spirit of this particular workshop, which of course, perhaps, as you know by now, I'm just using as an example of a much larger concept, which is like, oh my God, I don't have to fucking do this thing alone. Like, if I'm really stepping forward, if I'm really throwing all my cards down and I'm really committed to the thing that I say I want to do, then I can ask. Then the spirit of this thing, my vision, my desire, my dream, my project, sees that I'm like a worthy contender, sees that I mean business, and I'm like, they can step forward too, because I'm not messing around and I'm not going to be a waste of their time and their energy. But I don't even know, as I'm saying that, I'm like, I don't even know if those words really apply to this like dimension of energy that I'm speaking about, of like wasting Joe Schmo's time and energy. Like, I don't really feel like the spirit of Grief Threads sees me as a potential waste of their time and energy. But maybe you, it's just a limit of language here. Some hotel furniture for you right there. So I had this feeling that was like, okay, so I can actually like take a breather and I could trust. It actually feels like a huge texture and musculature of trust. That's like, oh, okay, I can actually trust that there is a like energetic call and response, or like an antenna that the spirit of Grief Threads can now be responsible for casting out the energetic net that brings forth the people who are meant to sign up. And if it's 3 people or 25 people, I can trust that that is precisely what needed to happen. And I can tuck my sweet little ego to bed, put my little ego down for a nap, that's like, well, if only three people sign up, then I'm a loser. That is, I'm just so bored. I'm so freaking bored by that, like, if this, then this. I'm really tired of like collapsing my reality into that story or versions of that story. And instead, I could be like, well, I put the spirit of grief threads in charge. So that means that I just fully trust that if it's three people, it really fucking needed to be just those three people. And the spirit of grief threads was actually holding the door. Maybe there were millions, literally millions of people chomping at the bit, trying to get in, right? Energetically. But there's like a barring of the door, like a like no not yetness happening, because the spirit of grief threads knew that those three people needed a very specific environment in which to process their specific grief experiences, and that like them three and me together, oh, it was a holy dance. It was a holy quartet, and it only could have been that, right? And I can let myself off the motherfucking hook for like not being good enough, not being cool enough, not being interesting enough, not being smart enough, not being savvy enough, not being just an excellent ass marketer. I could just let myself a little bit off the hook. At the same time, I can also trust that the spirit of grief threads is going to be like, boom, with a lightning bolt of inspiration, with a lightning bolt of enthusiasm. Like, I can wait to receive the information that sensorily feels like enthusiasm and inspiration, like that I'll get the download and I'll get the memo of like, okay, make this Canva graphic that goes like boom, 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 because I saw this thing at the grocery store and it inspired me to talk about grief threads in this way. Go ahead and post it. Boom. In the stories, post it. And then I don't have to get bogged down in the mire of like strategy, like this lengthy launch strategy for the thing, that I could just trust that like inspiration is this like endless, endless resource that is flowing to me at all times when I am available to receive it, when I trust that it will come, and that I can unclench and ungrip the steering wheel of marketing strategy. And I can just like wait to receive that good, that sauce that my body very much knows. My body can sense immediately. It's like sniffing out like Pepe Le Pew with the pie on the windowsill. I'm just like, I know exactly that somatic feeling of like inspiration. And it seizes you, seizes me. Maybe it seizes you too, if you know what I'm talking about. Of course you do. You're listening to this podcast. You know what I'm talking about. Seize. And then what else is there left to do but just relax? Just relax. Because I'm like, dude, you know who's driving this ship? Not me. But it's not in a lazy way. It's not in an abdicating of my power way. It's like, oh, I get to just like have a freaking mocktail and enjoy the scenery. And I trust that we're going exactly where we need to go. And I can go to the captain's pit and like chat and like kiki and cuckoo and clink my little glass with the spirit of grief threads that is driving this particular ship. Let me zoom out some more. Or the spirit of whatever project, whatever circumstance. I feel like this also applies to like emotional friction or challenges that like you have like a relationship issue of just like this sticking point that like feels like it won't budge. What is the indwelling spirit of both the relationship itself, of the actual like perpetual challenge that feels so like boggy downy? What if you could go to that spirit and be like, what's up? Let us chat. Let us exchange words. Let us exchange questions and answers. And that you could like get to know, like you're getting to know a new friend, and could get like curious about one another. Really, all for the sake of being reminded that we are not so motherfucking alone out here just like needing to figure out life and make these decisions about life constantly. And like, even for my skeptics out there, like, it's just more fun. It's honestly just way more fun to move through the world with this like creative, dynamic, super imaginative animist perspective that also just feels very childlike. It's just like returning to your four-year-old brain that's like, oh yeah, the light talks and the coffee maker talks and the water bottle talks, the water inside the water bottle talks. Oh, look, the floor is talking, the pillow is talking, the moon is talking, the sun is talking. All of the plants are definitely talking. The birds are 100% talking. Everything has the capacity and desire to communicate with us. And it's like a hell of a lot more interesting than this sort of boring, vanilla, striving, solo ambition project that we've been programmed to do as little solo ding-dongs flopping around. Okay, I'm gonna go do my work thing now, which, by the way, is really cute. I'm emceeing a teen poetry competition. I just love them so much. They're so perfect and cute and nervous. Okay, so I'm gonna go do that. Love you so much. Bye.
Sing me your song.